Who can make a better Godzilla movie? America in 2014 or the Japanese in 2016? All that and a new Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer today on Sci-Fi Weekly.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Hey there, sci-fi fans. Welcome back to Sci-Fi Weekly, the show that breaks down everything in the world of science fiction, from movies to TV to books to whatever's going on in the news. And we also break down movies every week, TV shows, whatever's going on. All that stuff on the Popcorn Talk Network. You can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook at Sci-Fi Weekly, or make sure you're subscribed to the Popcorn Talk, Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube, or the Popcorn Talk on Twitter. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Enough of the plugging. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Did I say done with plugging?
Yeah.
That was a lie.
Yeah, you're continuing plugging.
Yeah. Jesse Klein is
hey,
here.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? I'm super excited to talk about this movie. We saw Shin Godzilla together. I loved it. Spoiler alert coming up. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Oh yeah, I mean Shin Godzilla was fun. It was we have a lot to say about it, and so we got to get through everything else that's going on in the news. Before that, we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, the new trailer from them. There's a new place to check out some sci-fi online, yeah, and some really weird medical stuff going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Without further ado, let's get into our news at ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed. Go!
That's right. Starting it off, we've learned that Leonardo DiCaprio has signed on to produce a big screen adaptation of Captain Planet. And as we've learned from Leo's previous works, near, far, wherever you are, the power of heart will go on.
A new Rogue One trailer was released earlier this week, and it was fucking good.
Dude, we can't swear.
But it was fucking good. Did you watch it?
It's 3 o'clock. You can't swear, man.
But did you see the shot of Vader?
Yeah.
Like, the 14 seconds that he was, like, yeah, not even seconds, 14 frames he was in this trailer was better than all of fucking what was in episode 3.
Yeah, I'm fucking excited. We can't fucking swear, though, dude.
But you're swearing now.
Oh, shit.
Also, like, we can't really go back. This is live.
That's true. Well, okay.
So, computer, just mark it explicit. We'll move ahead.
Okay. Tom Holland made the news this week. He let slip that Marvel and Sony were ready to begin discussing villains for the sequels to the next year's Spider-Man Homecoming. Really, Disney? Really? You want to print more money? You want your money printing machine to make more money? Is it news that you're going to have sequels to your money printing machine? Is that news? You're going to make more money printing machines to print more money? Disney needs all the money? Is that what they want? Okay, fine. I got so angry that Ant-Man fell over.
No, Ant-Man. Universal's interconnected monster universe is growing, following up the Tom Cruise-led Mummy remake. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Universal has announced that Dave Callahan, who wrote The Expendables, has been brought in to write the latest draft of Wolfman. That's fine. I guess they passed on my script for Wolfman meets Teen Wolf. Michael J. Fox and I will take our business elsewhere.
That 4-hour basketball scene in the middle of that script was fantastic.
Look, it would have been epic.
Yeah, it would have been great.
It would have been Oscar nominated, but like for the first time a Wolf basketball game has ever been awarded anything.
For sure. War of the Worlds is being developed for television by MTV because, you know what, what we always needed from a story of aliens, military future, and germ warfare is just more angsty teenagers in crop tops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we don't need that.
That's what I need with my germ warfare.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. All right, that's going to do it for today's ludicrous speed. Short news, so like, not a big news week.
Nope, not at all.
But there's the two things that I wanted to talk more in length about. First, this I just thought was really cool. There's a new site called Recursor, which is going to become a new hub for science fiction, indie science fiction.
Yeah.
So, like, literally, it's coming later this year, I believe, but it's going to be, so like, check it out online. There's more of like a public service announcement than news, but like, go check out Recursor, recursor.tv is where you can find it. And they've already got like their first like web series episode up. And then they're just, it's just going to be a place to release all like short films, I imagine features as well. And web series, all science fiction based.
That's really cool.
It's going to be called, I think the first one is called Nina Unlocked, and it looks like it's a, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but it looks like it's some AI stuff.
Fun. We always like AI.
Yeah, we should like partner with them.
Yeah, we should.
Recursor, just call us. All right, but the meat of the news today.
Our phone number is 1-800 Spooky Sci-Fi.
The meat of this discussion today is Guardians of the Galaxy released a trailer this morning.
First thing I did today online was watch that trailer.
I was sitting at my computer, like, getting today's rundown ready.
Yeah.
And, like, I was already like, all right, well, maybe we'll talk about, like, the Rogue One trailer. But one of our other shows on our network, Jedi Alliance, they did a fantastic job covering that. And you can go Jedi over Alliance, check them out with Mark Donica. And they covered it great. And I was like, I don't know what else we have to say about it. But then literally as I'm thinking about this, the email alert popped up in the corner and it was just like, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 releases trailer. Click, 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 click.
And it's not like a teaser. Like, it's not one of these... Yes, teasers.
It's like halfway. Like, this is like it, because most trailers are usually about 2 to 2.5 minutes. This is a minute and like 20, minute and 30. But it's absolutely what I want out of a trailer is just like, there's enough to tease me, enough that like the Marvel nerds, like you and I, can like dig into it and find some like nuggets to talk about. And we will. We will.
We're going to talk about those nuggets.
But it didn't spoil anything like big.
No.
Like, there's just like some interesting like theories that we can build off of this.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this trailer.
I watched it 3 times this morning.
Yeah. I've watched it at least that many times. Yeah. If not just for this, I would have watched it anyway. But so there's like a number of things that we saw in there. This is the first thing I want to talk about, and then computer, we'll take a look at this, and then there's some comic book stuff at the end, because this, Jesse, this is Gamora standing in, like, on a space platform.
Yeah.
With, like, there's, and in the back, what you caught on to is this big circular light thing.
Yeah, I remember reading that, you know, Adam Warlock is getting introduced into this movie, and it reminded me of a couple of the first, like, the 2005 run of Guardians of the Galaxy. After Annihilation, the first run of Guardians of the Galaxy reboot before the movie, they had a big plot line where they fought the Universal Church of Truth.
Huh.
And it's basically this church that worships Adam Warlock's kind of alter ego, his bad version. And they're all about converting. Like, that's their whole thing, is like, convert. And they had this big set piece where they were on a giant... like space platform like this, and they were trying to basically take the souls out of everyone in the galaxy.
Now here's where it gets interesting. And Steve, if we could, our computer program, this is Steve, if we go down a little bit in these pictures, there's one of like a bunch of people falling
or rising.
Yeah, or right. Well, no, they were falling. They were moving downward when you look at it in motion. But yeah, that one, if we look at it full screen.
You were on it.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. You see the people like falling, falling like in slow motion, like almost while Yondu and Rocket are walking in normal pace.
Yeah.
So like it's almost like they're floating. Like in my mind, like I wasn't sure what it is. And then if we go down a few pictures to that like comic big book. Comp, but like the light church,
there you go.
Here, this one,
you can
see, we bring that up, you can see a very similar like people floating around it, And the light, you're right, it's the exact same sort of color and thing as the thing with Gamora on top.
So it looks like that might be the big kind of bad in this movie,
yeah.
is the Church of Truth, which would be really interesting. I think.
Which, what, and so I know they're tied to Adam Warlock, but what exactly are they about?
Like I said, they're trying to convert or take their souls. Like, they have a soul engine where they have, like, all of the souls of people that they've taken.
We're still, I mean, I know, like, Thanos is not going to be involved in this movie, but we are still missing the soul gem.
That's true. We could get that. Yeah, there's
the priests.
Yeah, they have priests and deacons, and they all have, like, this power that's imbued with them. And they're basically a bunch of, like, stiff upper lip, kind of, like, take themselves too seriously guys. So, like, the Guardians bounce off against them really well.
Yeah, and there's the circles again, which just, like, the circles that were in that light.
Yeah, and, like, their power comes from their faith.
And I think
you can see that, I believe.
Yeah, and what I think is really fascinating about this from a science fiction standpoint, not just a Marvel fanboy standpoint, is that, like, the idea of, like, okay, we've got this universe that takes place entirely in space.
Yeah.
Well, religion exists anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, if you just look at the Earth, like, the way that it is as it exists,
yeah,
any part of the Earth, like, a religion forms in one way or another. Whether you're in Aboriginal Australia or Northern Britain or the plains of Wisconsin.
Sure.
Religion forms, and, like, so of course space would have, like, these space civilizations would have their own churches and their own beliefs, and but with technology as advanced as it is in the Guardians of the Galaxy world,
yeah,
what form does that take? And it comes to worshiping either some form of science, some form of ancient being, like we saw in Nowhere in the beginning. So it's very possible that they're just worshiping a power that maybe they've either lost control of or are trying to harness.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is, like, energy conversion. If you can convert whatever faith equals into energy, then you've got a lot of power if you have all of these people worshiping you, especially in a universe where, you know, Galactus exists, which is, like, a god, and, like, Thor and Hercules and all of these literal gods.
Well, Galactus is trapped in an alternate dimension
owned by
the Fox Corporation.
Yes. Currently, he is a purple cloud in the Fox Corporation. But, you know, they have Celestials, which Galactus is, like, a servant of the Celestials. So.
Which, there's a one towards the top of a big circle and Star-Lord standing in front of it. And, like, where it looks like, if you look, there's, like, almost, it looks like membrane.
Yeah, it looks like Nowhere.
In the back. So, yeah, it could easily be Nowhere. Or maybe this is the body of the head of that Celestial.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we don't know what happened. What if that's the neck hole?
Gross.
I mean, the whole thing, all of Nowhere was set up to mine spinal fluid.
Yeah.
From
the Celestial. Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah. Also, like, in some pictures we see Yondu, and I like that he's got the full mohawk now.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, here, Nebula.
Nebula.
I was really excited to see Nebula.
Yeah.
Because, like, seeing her, like, it looks like she's captured. Like, they took a bag off her head. So, assuming this is all from, like, the same chunk of the movie, which I could, like, that's sort of Marvel's style of trailers, is to give us, they don't want to give us the whole movie. And they're, like, even on movies like Civil War, once you go back and rewatch, they, like, give you, that you can see pieces from the entire thing, or, like throughout the movie. They try to only give you, like, a certain pieces of storyline so that it doesn't give away big, parts of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So if it, I could totally see it where they find out that Nebula has been captured by the Church of Universal Truth.
Yeah.
And Gamora mounts a rescue mission.
For sure.
I don't know how Yondu's going to meet up with all them. But Yondu, since he was an original member of the Guardians, it makes sense for him to be there.
It does. And he's just great.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Rooker's
hilarious. The best. Yeah, for sure. And, like, to have her either be converted and, like, a B story or a C story be, like, the fight for, you know, her soul, basically, like have
Nebula.
Her, yeah, Nebula.
That could be interesting. James Gunn said this week that he thinks that she's one of the character that he would love to see it get a solo movie.
Which is crazy
to think about, because you think about all the other characters that are higher up, at least in like people's minds, yeah, like, who would get a solo film. But like, honestly, for a guy like James Gunn, if you give him someone like Nebula to play around with,
there could be some really interesting stories.
Yeah, because like he has more lateral movement.
Plus it's Amy Pond.
Oh my god, it is. You forget that with all the blue.
Yeah.
But yeah, that like this was just a fun trailer. I loved Rocket and little mini toddler Groot.
Yeah.
And Groot just can only squeak.
Yeah.
Like I know that like intellectually I know that they only did this thing where Groot's like a baby.
Oh yeah.
Because like of how ridiculous the fans like and the fan like especially the casual fans went for baby Groot in the pot.
Yeah.
It was just the most marketable thing ever.
But there's also precedence in the comic books as well. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I know intellectually that's why they did this and they didn't just regrow him, but I don't care because it's so funny.
Yeah, I can't wait to get a baby Groot plushie. Like,
oh, they exist already.
Yeah, I know. But like, look at that adorable thing.
Next to the snarl of Rocket. Yeah. It's beautiful. And it's the perfect reversal, since that was how we first saw Rocket, like in the exact reverse. All right, we could talk about Guardians of the Galaxy all day.
Could. I'm excited to see Mantis. We know Mantis is confirmed.
Yeah, Mantis there. I'm excited. Like the moment with the big moment that they showed was Drax and Star-Lord. And,
yeah,
he's getting lonely. Yeah, I loved this spacesuits for emergencies or fun. The look that he has now is it feels more classic comic book, the facial hair that Star-Lord's wearing.
Yeah.
Quill. And this poster is beautiful.
I'm so split on the direction they've taken Drax the Destroyer. I was talking to you, like, in his Annihilation reboot, the first thing he does is kill a Power Skrull as soon as he's reborn. Like, that's the first thing he does is kill Peibach the Power Skrull and, like, a bunch of, like, alien, like, people, and like he's just like he's not that funny at all in the original version. He's just like a scary guy with knives who's more like a force of nature you unleash on your enemies.
Yeah.
And in the movies Dave Bautista's killing it as far as comedy goes. Like, he's super funny and really doing a good job with it, and I like this Drax. It's just hard for me to, like, when I first heard that Drax the Destroyer was going to be in a movie for the last Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, oh man, that better be rated R. That better be a hard R. And he definitely is not that same character.
No, but I think that this is a great character for screens, and it's perfect for the tone.
Batista's really funny. Yeah. Like, he's killing it.
All right. So, as I said, we could talk about it all day.
We could.
I'm excited to see Peter Quill's love life.
Oh, yeah.
Because I guess he's in love with Gamora. I'm excited to see how the whole team comes together and adds in these three new members.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll be getting more trailers as we get closer to next year's release date.
I'm very excited.
Real quick, let's just blow through sci-fi in real life.
Yeah.
Where a mysterious illness is causing as many as 5 people in the same hospital to become delirious and having hallucinations.
They had to put the hospital on quarantine.
Yeah, because they don't know what it is that's causing this. And when you don't know what is causing people hallucinations, my mind runs rampant with theories.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Were they having the same hallucination? They haven't told us. I think this is a cover-up.
I think it's a ghost virus. I think we're agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're seeing it right now.
Oh,
there's a ghost virus, and everyone is getting infected with it. Or zombies? Or it could be zombies.
I mean, there's like one guy who's like, a couple of the policemen have been released, which we know is the first step towards like the end.
Yeah.
Of days.
Yeah.
But there's like, they're holding one guy who he had recently had the flu or is exposed to the flu, and so it's complicating matters. And like, yeah, that's how zombies start. You get one mysterious virus that seems harmless on its own, but then it combines with the flu, and then it turns into a zombie virus, and then we all die.
Yeah, the one guy, their name for him is Patient Zero.
Yeah. So, they're just so Oregon, lock it down.
Lock it down.
All we're saying, Oregon, lock it down.
What I'm saying is, get that water ready. Just get a nice water supply. In the future, that's going to be currency. You're going to want to have as much bottled water as you have on hand. Keep it going. Yeah, you're
drinking. I'm ready.
You're drinking your money away right now. You could with with that, you could barter for some ammunition and a coat hanger.
I mean, look, we're in California. I have an earthquake bag ready to go.
That's true.
There's like 3 gallons of water sitting in my apartment.
Us in Southern California are screwed as far as water goes.
We're all gonna die.
Yeah.
We're all gonna die. And yeah, we don't have enough water as it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. To our main topic of discussion.
Let's do it.
Shin Godzilla.
Oh my god.
Shin Gojira, or Godzilla Resurgence.
Yeah.
Gotta
name a movie reboot boot with name of movie and then R word.
But just quick reactions. Like, I know you've reacted at the top, but like, what did you think of the Shin Godzilla?
I thought it was great. I thought it was really well handled. I think that the people who made it had a really specific vision for what they wanted this movie to be, and it was really successful in matching that vision for what they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Godzilla is not really in this movie, which is it's surprising for me that I like it, because I want to see a lot of Godzilla in a Godzilla movie, and we'll get into it with 2014 versus now.
Yeah, it was the same complaint, which we'll talk about. We will absolutely talk about the comparison of the two.
But this movie had legitimate scary moments, had legitimate funny moments. We watched it in the theater. There were moments where, like, the ridiculousness of the Japanese bureaucracy got so much that everyone in the audience was laughing. Like, there's a thing where someone, like, the prime minister says, "We've got it all handled," and the camera pans down this long table, and then someone says, "Actually, it's not handled," and the camera then slowly has to pan back to the prime minister, and it's this ridiculous moment, and it's so funny. Everyone in the audience started laughing at these weird things, and it's really well handled, and at the same time, like, a great kaiju movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I thought was most interesting, is that this was such a political look at Godzilla.
Yeah, I tweeted that it was, what if Aaron Sorkin made a Godzilla movie? Like,
it's that is the perfect description of it. And like, before we put up the spoiler wall,
yeah,
and everything, just like, if you do get a chance to see, and I know it was only here for a limited run in the States, but I'm sure that you'll be able to get it on DVD or streaming of some form.
Yeah.
But if you do check it out, like, it takes a look at like how a political system would react to Godzilla. And what I think was so interesting is that the real, how much real world went into this, because what they are, like, the filmmakers, I think they've acknowledged this publicly, or if not, it may be a theory, but it seemed, at least to me, it seems so obvious that they're trying to mirror what happened post Fukushima.
Oh, for sure. This was very much a Fukushima reaction.
Because although, like, as Americans, we don't have, like, we don't know all the details of Japanese bureaucracy to the level that, like, I'm sure there's a lot of more deep cut stuff going on here. But just like any bureaucracy, you understand how it works, and how, like, it can be a nightmare to get anything done, and the lack of action because of all the approvals and all the
ropes,
the ropes, the red tape, the wringing of hands, so that like you're not to blame, like passing the buck, like all that stuff keeps happening. As a monster,
literally a giant monster outside the door,
and that's the thing, as a monster movie, which is why we're covering this as well. Like, it came out, and it's October, monster movie month. It's a monster movie, but then it's also like the monster of, just like classic Godzilla, the monster of is humanity, and it has wreaked havoc on the world. And so, just like what you couldn't, although you couldn't see the way that radiation was destroying Japan after Fukushima, it was the same thing happening. Effectively, like, people were getting hurt,
and
like
sick,
the world was getting damaged while people sat there and tried to pass the blame or not take responsibility or just, like, try to cover their own asses.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're already explicit. I can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Before spoilers. Yeah. It is a really interesting movie and really well handled. All of the characters are really well done. Like, the main character is basically like a mid-level, like, bureaucracy management guy who works like with the prime minister. He's just like one of those guys. And you get introduced to all of these really interesting characters. Godzilla, I would say generously, Godzilla gets 15 minutes screen time. Total. Like, generously.
I think it's more than that. I think it would be closer to 25 minutes, but still an hour and 20 minute long movie.
Yeah.
For only a fourth of it.
Yeah.
Let's be extra generous. Let's say it was in a half hour of the movie. That's all.
And a lot of that half hour, he's in remission. Like, he's standing still.
Yeah.
Like, not doing anything.
But the thing is, like, it worked because the threat was constantly there. And that's the thing is, the pace of this...
Yeah.
The pace of this movie was so fast. Here's the thing. It was so fast at times and then so slow at others that you... connected, like, it was you felt the panic,
yeah,
at the beginning when Godzilla first shows up, and then you also felt the, like,
dread.
Pain of, like, why aren't you doing anything?
Yeah,
there's a kaiju outside.
Yeah.
There's a giant dinosaur,
but also the sense of dread of, like, he's going to wake up soon and we aren't going to be able to stop him.
Yeah,
like,
Real quick, because I think we can do this without giving spoilers, because, like,
yeah,
we've got... This is 2014 Godzilla.
Sure.
On screen. And, like, I want to make the comparison, because I think we can do that without giving too many spoilers.
Yeah.
First of all, like, just in, like, two sentences, like, how did you feel about 2014 Godzilla?
I think it should have been renamed Boring Army Man is a Good Guy. Because I think most of that movie was just trying to prove to us how good Boring Army Man was.
Yeah, I liked that movie. I liked the, not just the Godzilla part of the movie, not just in the sense of, like, and I realized I just broke my own, like, two sentences thing,
yeah,
in, like, a heartbeat. But I liked how they handled, like, him coming in and the reason and everything behind that, how it was created, how it was activated, all these pieces. But you're right, the main character was boring as hell.
Yeah, they had Bryan Cranston, they had Professor Fujiwara, they had all of these really interesting characters, and they're like, nope, it's Boring Army Man story.
Yeah.
And, you know, they spent so much time, like, I feel like they almost were screwing with us, because, like, we didn't really get Godzilla on screen fighting the Muto until the very end. And they kept on screwing with us where, like, we would see Godzilla fighting the Muto in Hawaii, and then the camera would pull out and it would be the TV that the kid is watching. And then we see this thing with the kid and the nurse, and it's just characters I don't care about. Like, that's the difference. Like, the Shin Godzilla movie, like, I cared about the characters and were invested in their story. So it was okay that I wasn't seeing Godzilla.
Yeah.
In the 2014 Godzilla movie, I didn't care about the main character. I wanted to see Godzilla. Like, I was upset that I wasn't seeing Godzilla because I was like, well, if the human characters aren't interesting and if the human story isn't interesting, I at least want to see this cool Godzilla, because I like the creature in the 2014 Godzilla movie. I like the way Godzilla looked. He looked imposing and scary, and I thought the Muto were really cool and interesting looking. Like, Boring Army Guy was super boring.
Yeah. Omar, who's joining us in the live chat role, says,
yeah,
I don't like the 2014 version. It betrays what the point of Godzilla is. He was created by the Americans' idiocy of using nuclear weaponry, and they ignore that and just say he was always there.
Yeah, that too. They said that he was a super predator that has existed forever.
Yeah, I actually forgot that they did that.
Yeah, that he got mutated still by nuclear weapons, but he was a super predator that's always
been around and feeding on radiation, and basically nuclear warfare activated him, woke him up.
Yeah. So it's still like our hubris, but yeah, we didn't create the monster. Yeah. We just like turned it on, which is like a softer version.
Yeah, it's a different version for sure.
Captain Travis says, disagreed. In the Hentai period, Godzilla was more of a force of nature, and the 2014 movie captured that. So, like, differences of opinion.
No, I agree that everything surrounding Godzilla was great in the 2014 movie. Everything not Godzilla, all of the human stuff was just really poorly paced and boring for me.
But so in Godzilla Resurgence, what we got was it truly did use Godzilla as something that man has created, the perfect evolution of just like, this is going to destroy you until you like really come together to fix it. And it also felt like once it got on land, it was a force of nature. And now let's put up a spoiler wall. So spoilers, guys, this is, we're going to talk about everything about the movie, including and up to the ending.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie, it almost doesn't matter. Cause it's so much fun to watch. Like there's no really like,
Well, continuing your thing about Godzilla being a force of nature and like the way they handled the creature. One thing I really liked that was a really subtle kind of thing is they talked about how there isn't enough energy. Like there aren't enough animals for Godzilla to exist in order to create energy. And he basically just leeches off background radiation. And that's where he gets all of his energy. And I like one of the subtle things is like when he opens his mouth, he doesn't have a throat. Like he's got like a tiny little hole and that's it. Like, cause he wouldn't have to eat anything. There's no reason for him to have an esophagus. Like,
there's no reason for him to have a mouth when you get down to it, except that it's a projectile weapon.
Yeah, but just like little subtle things like that, where it's like, oh yeah, like, yeah, it's not a creature the way we know what a creature is.
But that's a great point. I didn't even thought about that. But you're right. Like, it wouldn't need a throat. Like, I guess you could almost think of the mouth as like vestigial in a way.
Yeah,
as like it's just been there. It's how it. And also, teeth is how you can defend yourself.
Yeah,
but it creates this laser beam.
Oh my all right, god,
the lasers. I want, like, let's just talk about the monster. Like, all right, hold on, let's get to the lasers.
We're first introduced to Godzilla
as what, like a lungfish.
Yeah,
this weird little, I didn't even think I wasn't sure at first that this was Godzilla. I thought this might be like a monster Godzilla is gonna come and eat.
Yeah, well, having watched a lot of Godzilla movies in my time, a lot of like traditional Godzilla movies start where there's a tiny big kaiju that comes in and invades, and like, oh, everyone's really scared of it, but then either the army destroys it or like Godzilla destroys it, and then it's like, uh-oh, Godzilla's here, he's the main bad guy, and then it's like, oh no, it's actually King Ghidorah. He's the main bad guy, and Godzilla's actually a force for good, kind of.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the story that a lot of these Godzilla movies kind of follow, where it's, like, small monster, like, it's usually, like, a tarantula or, like, a praying mantis or something like that, that's kind of big, but not really. And then Godzilla defeats that, and then Godzilla's the bad guy, but then the actual bad guy comes. So when we first meet lungfish version of Godzilla, the only thing that looks really Godzilla-like are his, like, back spikes.
Yeah, and that was, I was like, it looks like it's, like, his little brother
who's,
like, had, like, a problem getting with birth.
It's, like, in order to breathe, it has to flush its blood out after it's been oxygenated.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, every few steps, it's got these gills that just flush oxygenated blood out. Like, it's just insane.
Horrifying.
It's gross. The way it topples buildings is just kind of, like, leans against them. Like, it's such a weird thing. And then it mutates, and then we see it becoming closer and closer to the traditional Godzilla that we know and love. But even in its final form, it doesn't look all the way Godzilla. Like, its mouth is too big. Like, and it's got these buggy, creepy fish eyes.
Like, they're almost like, not this one, but if we look at the laser guy, like, because this is the one from 2016.
Yeah.
The eyes were very, like, eel.
Yeah.
Like, they looked, it looked like something that had, it bothered me a little bit when I was watching it.
Yeah.
Until, was it you that made the eel comparison
at
first? Yeah, I
said it kind of looked like an eel.
Because, at that point, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense because he did live in the ocean.
Yeah.
Because, when I'm watching it, it's just like the eyes never close or blink. It's just
they wouldn't
almost
need
discerning, disconcerting.
And then we get this moment where Godzilla's being carpet bombed.
It's like by drones. Because they eventually call in the American
first
military.
Stealth bombers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was the stealth bombers first.
Stealth bombers. And it's like, what's Godzilla going to do? How's he going to stop these stealth bombers? And it's like, oh, he has a Pink Floyd laser light show on his back.
What?
What is this insanity?
Like, basically what they established about this version of Godzilla is that he is, like, through radiation has become the ultimate evolution machine.
Yeah.
So that there's almost a sense of, like, intelligent design at work in this version where a problem comes up and rather than needing, like, generations to evolve a defensive technique, Godzilla just, like, glows red and then, like, sprouts new
powers,
features or abilities or whatever it takes, and oh my god, out of the spikes on his back, it's just like
it's insane. And I loved how they handled his breath weapon as well.
Yeah,
where at first it's just like fire, and then it becomes a concentrated laser beam that cuts through everything. Like it's just. It's this purple laser beam that just sweeps through Japan and cuts everything
in
half.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
Big bucket of nope.
Yeah.
Which is like what like they say once like the American government gets involved and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that the way that they handled, because it is true, like Japan doesn't have a traditional military.
Yeah.
Post-World War II, there's a lot of sanctions around their military. And so they do have to sort of call in the U.S. for anything big.
Yeah.
But the way that Americans come in and we're just like, we're going to bomb the hell out of this.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting.
It worked.
And it was interesting using the fact that the U.N. wanted to nuke Godzilla. And, like, they gave them, like, a timeline in order to find a different way. And the different way for beating Godzilla was just basically a dental exam.
That wasn't even just the U.S. That was the U.N.
That's what I said. The U.N.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to bomb Godzilla. Yeah.
The U.S., U.N., it's... Yeah.
Oh, Donald Trump.
What?
Oh, he's said some stuff about the United Nations.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
I just meant that I misheard you.
I think that was great. And it was a great kind of way to take... I think this was kind of a response to the United States' version of Godzilla as well, where it's like they're kind of taking their creature back, which is cool. And their version of beating Godzilla was like, we had to see the bureaucracy of them like making the solution in order to freeze him and then buying all the trucks and pumps that they would need.
I kind of loved that, like,
me too.
We needed to go through all that. Like, it wasn't just like, we've got the formula, get the trucks, and then they could do it. Like, you have to put out, like, every chemical plant in the country of Japan.
To make the solution.
To just pump out enough of this. Then you have to get enough trucks that can deliver it. I saw one of these trucks, like, the other day in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, the same, like, design of, like,
it was a crane truck.
Crane truck. Like, but they have, like, the hoses.
Yeah.
Whatever they are. Like, I saw one as I was driving. And I was just like, well, good.
Good. We've
if
got
Godzilla
those.
Shows up, we're part of the way
we
there.
We can freeze him. And like it was also, while it was a political drama, it was also a mystery as well, where it started off with this boat that a scientist had been on, and he had figured out like the way to defeat Godzilla, and like had mapped his genome. And so we had like the political drama and also solving the mystery of like what the scientist had been working on before he died as well.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like three different stories that were great.
What did you think of the American ambassador?
Yeah, there's from someone, clearly a Japanese national, playing an American, and I loved it so much because she didn't speak English at all. And so when she had lines that were in English, they were just phonetic English. So she'd just be like, "You know what I'm talking about, cool guy." And just like, "You don't know what any of these words mean. You're just phonetically saying these words." I think it was a cool character. I liked that she kind of, I liked that she was like, "The country of my grandmother can't go this way." I loved that part of the way that Japan defeated Godzilla was the fact that their trains run on time and they had train bombs. There's a set piece where Godzilla just happens to be standing on all of the light rail tracks and they send like 10 trains that run up his body and then explode.
And it's that's only a distraction.
That's
mind
only
you.
To distract him. Yeah. It was great. I loved it. And I think, yeah, I think all of the characters were really interesting and it paid off. The story was really well set up.
It was well structured. Like, it was well structured, if a little bit slow at times. But as yeah. I said, I think that there is a reason for that. It in terms of like filmmaking and the artistry behind it, like, it felt like long at times, you know, because it's supposed to. It's yeah. supposed to feel almost like you're pushing through sludge trying to kill Godzilla, because that's what the characters are going through.
Yeah,
there are that's what people have to go through in real life when you're working with government forces.
There are a lot of establishing shots of just like people setting up printers and fax machines, like, and like office chairs, where it's like, there's a monster outside, but yeah, you have to get like your government like in order. You have to get your base of operations in order. So yeah, there has to be like 20 people moving in fax machines and copy machines. Like, that has to exist.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting look at how a government might actually respond to a kaiju.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, so ultimately, like, I'm trying to think of a funny way to say this. How many out of 5 buildings crushed?
Oh yeah, sure.
How many buildings does this get for you?
I mean, I would like more Godzilla, but that being said, I give it like a solid 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say like that's what I was like, 4 out of 5. There's one building left.
Yeah.
To look for more Godzilla time in.
But other than that, I mean, and then we get that last still image of Godzilla's tail, where there are creatures on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, definitely setting up for a sequel. They're like these frozen, weird, like, homunculus creatures on Godzilla's tail. Like, it was very weird. I don't know what they were going for there.
I mean, I guess that... Wait. Are they Godzilla's little children? Are we finally, at long last, going to get the Godzuki movie that I have always dreamed of?
The payoff of Godzilla 1998, where they set up that Godzilla has a bunch of babies, and there was one egg that didn't get destroyed in the bombing of Madison Square Garden. Was Madison Square Garden? Where'd they bomb?
Yeah, I think it sounds right.
Something like that. It was an MSG. It was like where the Yankees play. We're going to finally get that payoff. Bunch of baby Godzillas. Next.
Look, I like what as a kid... The Godzilla like TV show like was one of my favorite. I don't know why. I barely remember it, but yeah. I know as a kid, like, I like was so upset like if I couldn't watch Godzilla.
Is it the cartoon based off of the 1998 movie?
No.
Okay.
The
so
one
you're talking
before
about the one
that
before. Okay.
That had Godzuki in it.
Okay.
The
yeah.
little miniature flying Godzilla, where Godzilla was the friendly like creature from the deep who would come and save everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I've always wanted a Godzuki feature film.
Godzilla has a rich history of animated TV shows that are ridiculous. Because the 1998 one had a guy who had like a mental link with the Godzilla creature, and they would fight kaiju like while he was like basically using Godzilla to fight the kaiju.
Oh god. We are gonna get more Godzilla American, so you guys have that to look forward to. In 2019 we're gonna get the next Godzilla movie, and then in 2020 King Kong versus Godzilla. That is a thing.
Yeah.
That is a thing that you can look forward to.
Yeah.
Other things you can look forward to next week, we are going to be talking about The Thing as our Halloween special wrapping up October.
Love The Thing.
Yeah, I want to thank Captain Travis for sending in his sci-fi moment of the week.
Oh, yeah?
You guys can send in your sci-fi moment of the week every week. Use the hashtag sci-fi moment of the week. It's a little long, but yeah. we'll work on that.
Yeah, sure.
But yes, sci-fi moment of the week. Captain Travis says, was watching an in-depth documentary on Japanese politics. Oops, I mean Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse, any moment of the week? It was great.
I mean, I was going to say probably Shin Godzilla, but with that Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, that's probably my sci-fi moment of the week.
Honestly, for me, it was the Rogue One trailer, because the moment... it was a great trailer, as I said before, but
yeah,
like, that moment,
fucking liked it.
Fucking did. But that moment with Vader, just like it made, like the threat that it looked like, it was like, this is going to be the scary Star Wars movie that the originals always were supposed to be for me, except that I grew up in the like 80s and 90s when like it was an old movie.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about actually truly fearing Vader.
Yeah.
And from what I saw in that shot. And that's what I got excited about. So next week, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing The Thing versus The Thing versus The Thing. We're going to compare and contrast The Thing from Another Planet from the 1960s. 40s, 50s, some old one. Then The Thing from the 1980s and The Thing from the 2000s.
Yeah.
All the things.
We're watching 6 hours of movies.
Yeah. So, guys, join us next week. Until then, I've been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. ThatZachWilson. So much else that's exciting coming up. I have some announcements that are pending as soon as this stuff is approved. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesdays. And, stick around for more Sci-Fi Weekly.
Yeah, I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. And on Twitter and Instagram. And, you can see me, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Zach, you've got something cool tomorrow, don't you?
What's tomorrow? Oh, I don't know if I can say what that is
yet. Oh, you can't say it? Okay.
Go tune into the tomorrow show with our executive producer, Kevin Undergaro. You won't regret it.
If you are a nerd fan, you will enjoy it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, guys. We have been Sci-Fi Weekly, where everyone is just one lab coat away from being a real scientist. Good night.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.